I want to begin by saying it's lovely to be with you again. I continue to feel like I need to introduce myself. I find more and more people said, oh, you changed something. But having been gone 2 weeks now, I felt like I had to say it's good to be back. Good to be back after 2 weeks away. And only getting back in town Thursday after our 4,500-mile family vacation. A road trip from here to Chicago, up to Colorado Springs, and then back to Florida, just scooting by the remnants of Hurricane Harvey. And with 2 days to spare, of course, I was in my office digging into my sermon archives, looking for that masterful sermon in there that I can revamp, renew, and then get ready to deliver to you today. Well, by the grace of God, I came across one, and to my surprise, the sermon had in it for Proper 17, the Sunday closest to August 31st, which falls on, for us this year, the 13th Sunday in Pentecost. It began with a story about my then 5-year-old nephew, Luke, my sister's firstborn, who Kate and I had been visiting back in 2011 while they were in Arizona. Now, the funny thing is, we were just with them this last week in Colorado Springs, doing the same thing, doing a bit of relief parenting for my sister and her husband as they get away for a little bit of R&R away from the family. And so I'm back here thinking, well, I guess that works for preaching for this weekend. Because back in 2011, my nephew Luke, who is now 11, and his younger brother Jonathan, who's 7, they were enamored with superheroes back in 2011. And really, they still are. I looked in my nephew's room, and he had a Spider-Man pillow, so one of my favorites, Spider-Man. But these days, they're less into the TV and movie superheroes and more into the video game heroes. Like, again, one of my favorites. Some people might recognize this in the audience. Mario, Super Mario. So this was done by Luke when he was here a number of years ago visiting. So Luke loves Mario, but right now his very favorite is this guy. I don't know if anybody recognizes him. So this is Link, and he is in The Legends of Zelda. So if you're from the 80s, it was a Nintendo game, Legends of Zelda. So my nephew Luke, he loves Link. And always when we're with our nephews, when I'm with my nephews, we're talking about video games and these superheroes, right? And I think they speak into a lot of things that we deal with in our day-to-day. Now, when I was Luke's age, there was a cartoon actually made surrounding Link and the adventures of Princess Zelda, and they were to fight the evil wizard Ganon. Now, like Link and Spider-Man, my favorite, many others in that category of superhero, they usually have greater abilities than all of us, right? But they still are susceptible to the worldly temptations that come in and out and come against us every day. Pride, issues with respect and honesty, and about being responsible for our actions. All these things that we've had to deal with in our own life when we're this big, things we're trying to teach our little ones right now. And it is in the Legends of Zelda cartoon that Link came across as very prideful, very full of himself, to a fault. And he was being called on it by the Princess Zelda all the time, right? And then one of my favorite examples, of course, is Spider-Man, is Peter Parker. I think Stan Lee did a fabulous job of trying to illustrate this teenage life and trying to deal as a teenager with these new super abilities that he's discovered. And if you remember from Peter Parker's life, someone spoke into his life as well. It was his Uncle Ben, who said to him that we really need to do our best to help others. And then he went on to explain what I've kind of dubbed the Spider-Man axiom, right? Something that I continue to talk about with my nephews and nieces, and I've taught the kids at the YMCA just down the road. I've talked to our own Sunday school kids about it. And that is that with every great discovery comes a need for great responsibility, right? And in Peter Parker's life, it was trying to balance that life of teenager with these super abilities. Now, to some degree, many superheroes, TV or video game, wrestle with this reality in their lives. And I would submit that so do we in a different way. They need to decide if they're going to be responsible with their newly acquired super abilities, using them for good to help others, or fall to the temptation of using them for ill will and revenge and selfish gain. And often, like I've said, in one way or another, there's someone who speaks into their life and calls them on it. In Peter Parker's life, it was his uncle, Uncle Ben, right? Now, there's another Peter who is challenged by his friend and his teacher with the same idea. Not discovering he had superpowers, but after making a great discovery in his life nonetheless, to which we can all identify. And that would be St. Peter. So this is St. Peter at the feet of Jesus after his confession of who Jesus was, which we heard last week on our gospel lesson, right? And it is the Apostle Peter who over and over is put in his place by Jesus because of his hot temper and his loose tongue. Yet it is also the Apostle Peter who learned this axiom that with a great discovery comes a need for great responsibility in life. After he makes his own great discovery of who Jesus is as Lord and God, as a Son of the living God, which we heard about again last week. And after making this great discovery, and likewise choosing to live a responsible and faithful life as an obedient witness of Jesus, Peter was the first rock in the walls of the church due to his great faith and unswerving devotion to his Lord and his God. Now, don't get me wrong. God, our God, is the rock that the church is built upon. But it is the believers, all of us, St. Peter, St. Paul, the believers through the generations, all the saints of God who are the living stones that build up the church. As St. Peter has talked about in his letter, one of his letters, 1 Peter, I think. But anyways, that's another sermon. So whether we consider ourselves living stones, as St. Peter regards the followers of Jesus Christ, or members of one living body, as St. Paul does, we are nonetheless precious and called by God with the same purpose and estimated result, to grab hold of that great responsibility laid before us and every one of us who has made that great discovery of who Jesus is in heart, in soul, in mind. And then, like Peter and Paul and countless others through the ages, through our hope, through our faith, through putting one's life into the hands of Jesus, we are given the responsibility to open up the kingdom of heaven to all people, offering them the opportunity to put their life into the hands of Jesus, bringing light into the darkness and expanding the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. For we know the truth of who Jesus is as Lord and Savior, and our responsibility is to offer anyone else out there to have that same contact, to have that same choice, to live into that choice to be sons and daughters of the Lord our God. And then along with that, we also have the responsibility to teach others what it is we believe and what we're called to do and to live, as our epistle from letter to the Romans suggests, saying, outdoing one another in showing honor, being ardent in spirit, rejoicing in hope, persevering in prayer, and living in harmony and peace with everyone, if at all possible. And this is, it's kind of the real difficulty, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And it's hard to do so. And a Richard Foster author, a Christian author, has hit this really hard. And he says this, everyone thinks of changing the world, but where, oh where, are those who think of changing themselves? He goes on to say, people may genuinely want to be good, but seldom are they prepared to do what it takes to produce the inward life of goodness that can form the soul. He goes on to say, personal formation into the likeness of Christ is arduous and lifelong. And I would add into it necessary, that it is necessary. Which brings us into our gospel lesson, where Jesus shares with his disciples and all of us a couple of things that we must be responsible to do if we are to live the life that God has called us to live. Just a few little things, beginning with self-denial. Not too hard, right? Jesus calls us to deny oneself. He doesn't mean the occasional act of self-denial of some pleasure or a luxury for some specific reason like saving the whales or feeding the hungry, boycotting some big bag company we don't agree with, all of which can be very good for the health of the world. But Jesus is talking about our daily lifestyle. In every moment of life, we are called to strive to decrease self and increase God in our life, a concept which is very foreign in our world today. The majority of the messages we get from TV and media are what? Pamper yourself. You deserve it. You are number one. You're the star of the show, right? That's not what we get from our gospel, is it? Acts of self-denial are rewarding and good, but Jesus calls us to a lifestyle of self-denial. Second, Jesus calls us to take up our cross. The Christian life is a life of sacrificial service with Jesus as our model. He freely gave up his own life, although he didn't deserve it. He was tried, falsely accused, beaten, then killed for each and every one of us. Again, personal ambition is seen as a great quality in our world, and without it, we might not be considered as successful people. But the gospel says it differently. Jesus calls us to abandon personal ambition in order to serve him. What did the 12 disciples give up in their lives? They gave up their careers, their livelihood, their families, in order to follow Jesus and expand the kingdom of God, living out their faith, living into God's word, and making known to all who Jesus is as the Lamb of God, who solely by whose blood we are redeemed. Again, moments of sacrifice are great and needed in our life, but Jesus calls us to more, to live a life marked by sacrifice. Third, Jesus calls us to follow him. How good were you at playing follow the leader or Simon Says? Our little one Hannah's great at follow the leader, right? Were all of you? We all tried to go where the leader went and do what Simon said, no matter how tricky Simon was. The Christian life is no different. Jesus calls us to a life that is in constant obedience to him, in thought, in word, in obedience, that we are supposed to follow him in word and deed. Not only once, not only at our confirmation, not only twice, but to live a life of obedience, following him everywhere he will go. So the questions that came to my mind as I start to think about this sermon and our gospel lesson are these. A couple questions that we must wrestle with individually and I believe corporately as the church. Who's number one in our life? And who is really in charge? Is it ourselves or is it God? And if we are really Jesus' disciples, then it is our responsibility to take ourselves out of the center of life, out of the driver's seat, and put God in where he belongs, into that number one spot. And by doing that, we are taking great responsibility for this great discovery in our life of who Jesus is. And that's precisely why we see the Apostle Peter getting into trouble with Jesus in our gospel lesson and being reprimanded and being called something like Satan, right? Because what Peter was trying to do was he was trying to take Jesus in the way that he wanted to go. He said, God forbid it. We don't want to lose you. But he didn't see the greater picture. And so Jesus saw Peter as being an adversary, a stumbling block to the cross, and therefore to God's plans and purpose and called him on it. He was not having the mind of God, but the mind of men. Something that we all trip up on all the time. Nevertheless, St. Peter gets back in line, where he belongs, behind Jesus, putting God first, following his Lord and his Savior, learning from his mistakes, and learning what it takes to keep his eyes on Jesus. In the end, being put to death like his Lord and Savior, not right side up, but upside down on the cross. And by God's grace, Peter becomes an example to all of us an example of who a Christian is called to be, turning the great discovery of finding Jesus in his own life into the greatest adventure of living out his life with this enormous, great responsibility to make him known. The Christian life is not always an easy life to live. Like Peter Parker, like Link, like the Apostle Peter, we will and do make mistakes. We're not perfect. But when we do, we can always turn to those words of beloved Uncle Ben, my favorite, who encouraged his nephew that with great power comes great responsibility. With our great discovery of who Jesus is, becomes great responsibility to live in him and make him known to those who do not know him. And as we remember those words of Uncle Ben, we remember who we are and what we're called to do and called to be. Coming back behind Jesus, standing upon the only sure foundation. And as the Apostle Peter did in our place with our God, denying self, taking up our cross, and following him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.